Ramon's going to share the word with us tonight. Are you going to do this in French, brother, or Spanish? I just can't hardly wait to hear you preach in French. Oui, oui.
Bonsoir, mes amis. That's good evening, my friends. Okay. You know, last time I was up here, I taught on anointing. And I'll give you an example that just happened. Pastor Calvin said about sharing about someone who needs the name of Jesus over them right now. And the one thing that I found about, if you want to learn about, kind of like what Pastor Calvin just talked about, if you want to find about anointing, hang around these people here. You'll find out real quick. There's anointed people in this church. And so before I go to prayer, it doesn't happen very often, but I got an email from my good friend. His name's Jacob, and he lives in Delaware. And I've been friends with him for about 10 years. And he emailed me, said, my mom went to the hospital yesterday. She came out. The doctor said she has a very advanced stage of cancer, very unexpected. And he asked me to pray. And all I could say is, I'm praying now. And that's an anointing you got. I just want to give you a little background on my friend. My friend Jacob, they're immigrants from India. They've been in the United States for a long time. And his parents actually were leaders of an underground church in Saudi Arabia. And if you don't know that what we're doing here, if we did this in Saudi Arabia, we would be put in prison. And they're amazing people, anointed people. They ran an underground church in fear of death. So let me go. I want to pray, and I want to pray for, I'm sorry, I don't remember her name. So the Lord knows. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to anoint my lips. We ask you to anoint this room, everyone here. Lord Jesus, I ask you a special touch be upon my friend Jacob's mother, upon her husband, upon the whole family. I declare healing, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I declare healing over this body. I declare your name is higher above cancer. There is nothing more powerful than you. I speak healing over this woman, this precious daughter in your eyes. And I pray these things in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so when the pastors asked me to share, you know what? Another thing that's interesting is the Lord makes arrangements. I don't know how he does this, but he just does. And I don't know if you guys, if you ever read this magazine, this is one of the most awesome magazines I've ever read. And every time I see a new issue, there's a guy I really like. He's on the very last page. His name's Lee Grady. I love this guy. This guy is so anointed. When I read that, it's like, that's it. That's it. He wrote this article. And okay, so the title of my sermon today has two parts. It's Pick Your Poison. I think you guys remember, hear about, bartenders. Pick your poison or get healed. It's kind of like one of those things. Which you want to do? Pick your poison or get healed. Okay? So I'm going to read which is interesting. Lee Grady wrote this article. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to couple hit and miss things on it. Because you need to read it. It's really good. It's titled, Five Toxic Attitudes You Must Allow God to Change. And I'll read this one sentence. He writes, bad attitudes can keep us out of our promised land. They can hinder God's work in our lives. If you have not yielded these attitudes to him, let the Holy Spirit begin the process of demolition. I love that. He didn't say let's neaten the house. He says, demolish it. He says of stubbornness, negativity, self-centeredness, woundedness, fault-finding. He writes at the very end, he says, it's not enough just to let go of sinful behaviors. He wants you to be like Jesus inside and out. He wants truth in the inner parts. Let him take a sledgehammer to your bad attitudes. I love that. This is anointed man of God. I love that. So I've been teaching in Mexico for the last probably month about things like this, about how the enemy is trapping us. And he wants to pull us down. He wants to strip us of our anointing. And I'm going to read, I'm going to start, I'm not going to expound on this at all. I'm just going to read Ephesians chapter 4. So Pastor Calvin said, you know, we're here in the body of Christ. I'm assuming everyone here knows the Lord is Savior. And, you know, just like what Lee Grady wrote, we've chucked off the sinful things, the big things. They're not there anymore. Okay, I don't deal with the bad things I dealt with 25 years ago. Those are gone. They've never come back. But listen to this. This is in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 24 through the end of the chapter. I'm reading in the New King James. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I'm not going to expound on that. You're just going to have to take that in and let the Holy Spirit work this through. Okay? So I've been using a lot of illustrations in Mexico. One of the things I find is when I preach to the incarcerated, I really like it because I'm going to use this word very, very respectfully. There's a simpleness in their attitude. They know they got to change. When I preached in like yesterday in Agua Prieta, I didn't have to tell them, you guys have to change. They're all like, yeah, we need to change. So I use illustrations. And I used this one actually when we were down in Navajoa. And so I have two illustrations. One is a little bit longer. It has three parts. Okay? So this illustration, and I just read from you Ephesians chapter 4. So this illustration has two parts. The first part is when we were in Tessia. For those of you who know, Tessia is a small, kind of a pueblo outside of, it's about 20 minutes outside of Navajoa. It's small, rural, and the pastors we know, Pastor Hanaro and Abdulia, we've known them for a long time. The pastor's known them for a long time. Wonderful people. And they're very humble people. They moved from a very nice home in the city in Navajoa to this rural place. And it's very rural. Abdulia's kitchen, she's a very, you know, elegant lady. Her kitchen has, basically it's a dirt floor. It really is. It's compacted, but it's pretty. It's nice. It's clean. But they went from a city into this rural area to seek people. They got good hearts. So we did youth ministry. I'm not going to go into too much details, but we did youth ministry. And every evening they would invite us to a meal. I love Mexican hospitality. They would invite us to eat. And they put the tables outside because it was really hot. It was like 105, and it just didn't cool down much more than that. So we're sitting outside and with a lot of people that helped us. Most of them were school teachers, both their son and several of the ladies. And we're sitting outside eating, and I don't remember. We were being served. I don't remember the exact timing. But Melissa, Samantha, and I were all on one side of the table, and we could see the house where they live. And we could see the door. They left the door of the kitchen open. And out of the door hopped something, and it was big. And for those of you who know, in this part of Arizona, you know, we get the Colorado toads. Do you know what those are? They're pretty big. Well, Navajoa, they're even bigger. And my daughter she's not afraid of these things. And my daughter gets up, and she goes right for the toad, and with two hands, she scoops this thing up because it's big. It's a two-handed thing. And the ladies scream. And one of the ladies, she couldn't even look at it. She was so scared. And for those of you who know, I didn't know this, but toads actually, the ones, these Colorado toads are poisonous. And not that you're going to touch it and die, but if a dog eats one, it could get sick. So it is poisonous. So I said, Samantha, go wash your hands. She did. She put the toad down and went and washed her hands. That's part one. It's an illustration that has three parts. Okay. The second part was, I use a lot of pictures because they like pictures when I go to the incarcerated. And I had a picture of our home I took years ago. We used to live in Flagstaff. And we used to get, they still do. They get, for those you don't know, Flagstaff gets a lot of snow. And you may not, do you know snow? Okay. I don't know. Some people, so I always ask in Mexico, who here knows about snow? And I said, okay, so the other thing you got to know, most of you guys know. In Mexico, they use the word nieve for snow, interchangeable for ice cream. And I said, okay, nieve, the snow that falls from the sky, how many of you guys know? And when I was in Navajo, quite a few guys were like, yeah, in Chihuahua, the mountains are really tall. They have snow up there. We've seen it up there. And one guy, he was sitting right in front. He goes, I know about snow. I used to live in Flagstaff. I was like, whoa, that's where I used to live. So I was amazed how many people knew about snow in Mexico. And so that's part two. Okay. And part three is, after, and you got to kind of stitch this together. It flows. It really does. Part three is, after we did the youth event in Tessia, there were some pastors from Delicias, Chihuahua. They gave us a big sack of powdered milk that they had got. It's Jorge and Maricel. Their picture is right up here. They're wonderful people. We have visited them when we go to Delicias. And they say, oh, you're doing youth ministry. You got to, here, take this big bag of powdered milk. So what we did the first 2 days of the youth event in Tessia, we would make smoothies. We would take the milk and we would get fresh mangoes. And guys, if you don't know fresh mangoes for Southern Sonora, the taste is amazing. So we put mango and we would put durazno peaches and we would just put good stuff. Put in a blender, and we'd serve it to the kids. And the kids actually liked it. Someone would come back. Okay? So we did that for 2 days. Okay? And after we did the youth ministry, the next week, I would go to the rehabs. And remember, the rehabs are more like prisons. They have razor wire. They have guards. They're incarcerated. So I was doing a service, and I've done this. I did this in Agua Prieta, too. I told them about, you know, how many of you guys know what a smoothie is? Most of them don't. I explained, okay, we put milk in. We put mango in. I said, who would like a smoothie? And I was just kind of pretending. And they're like, oh, yeah. Hey, one guy in the back goes, I would like papaya in mine. Okay, here, I'll put some papaya. And I was doing it like just like I am right here. And I'd say, what else do you want? I want some oatmeal. Okay, I can do that. And I'd go give it to him. I'd hand it to him, you know, just pretend. And these guys, they played it. And there's a group of about, I want to say about 50 guys. Okay, so I go around the room. Well, what do you want? And I said, well, you know, I want this and this. And I would just I'd go hand it to him. And I go, well, who here would like ice cream in theirs? And of course, all the hands shot up. Oh, yeah. Okay. And I'd ask, I said, well, what flavor of nieve do you want? I would like strawberry. I said, well, how many spoonfuls? Three. Okay. One. And I'd do everything, mango, papaya, all this works. And then three scoops of ice cream. And I'd hand it to him. Okay, and then I don't know why, but the roughest guy always sits right here. I don't know why, they just do. And you know how I know? They throw their signs at me. They got like special gang sign language. They throw their signs at me. So I know the bad guy's right there. He just is. And so, okay, it's your turn. All right, what do you want? Okay, milk. Mango, durazno, you know, what all you want? And he tells me all this works. Oh, say, and you want ice cream? Yeah, okay. What do you want? I want chocolate, man. Okay, one, two, three. I'm going to give you four. Okay, you ready? Four. And a toad. Do you want it? And they just were like, no, you just put a toad in my smoothie in the blender. I'm not going to eat that. And And I go through and I teach them how, you know, when we bring these in things, and it can be anything from bad speak, it can be just like what Lee Grady talked about, these things. It can be drugs. Whatever it is, we're drinking poison. And one thing I've learned is they never forget that illustration. I was in Agua Prieta last night. And do you guys remember the last time I was here, I brought an iron trap? Do you guys remember that? And I was like, hey, do you guys, I did this last night. Do you guys remember when I brought my iron trap? And one guy goes, yeah, we remember about the toad too. They won't forget. So when we bring these things into our lives that we shouldn't, it's like drinking poison. It's like drinking the most disgusting thing you could ever, even if you're heaping good stuff into your life, all it takes is one toad, bzzz, and you just wrecked everything. So I'm going to be teaching about going a step forward. And one of the things, and I have one more illustration, because the Lord just keeps teaching me these things, is we can heap all these good things, but all it takes is one thing and we wreck it. We lose it. And it's gone. And it's something we'll never want again. Okay, so I have one more illustration. So that was the toad illustration. The guys in our prayer have to remember about the toad. Okay. Another one is we live over in Bisbee, actually in Sunset Acres between Bisbee and Naco. And we've lived there for the last little over 4 years. Actually, 4 years this last weekend. And one of the problems we have is this time of year are weeds. And for those of you around here, is you never get rid of them. And we moved into this house 4 years ago. It was vacant for years. So we had weeds up to here. And we had the nasty kinds, you know, the goat heads and the amaranth, just the nasty stuff. You touch it and you get stickers. And since we lived there, we've been pulling them out. Okay, we've been pulling them out, and I'm going to tell you, it gets better every year. And it's just like the bad things in our life. I've been doing my quiet time in 2 Chronicles in the morning, and one thing that always has amazed me, if you go through Chronicles, you always, I'm not going to go into that too much. But if you look at 2 Chronicles, you go through and you just read about the good king. When a good king came in, what's the first thing a good king did was? He got rid of all the idols. He got rid of all the things they worshiped. Why was it there? This was God's people. These were God's people, Judah. The ones that didn't have good kings. Why did every other ruler, they have to chuck all this bad stuff? Because it just keeps coming in. It just does. And living in the flesh, I don't know about this guy Lee Grady, but I love this guy. I read, he has to take a wrecking ball. This guy's been an editor of this awesome magazine for 11 years. He has to take a wrecking ball. I need to take a wrecking ball. It's a continual thing. It's something we just like the weeds in my yard. I can't not pull these things out every year. I got to keep at it. And it's just like, I can't let any of this bad stuff get near me because it just will. But I'm a child of God. I've been saved 25 years. Why does this stuff keep coming at me? It just does. And I need to keep pulling it out. And it does get better. I don't struggle with the things I struggled with a year ago. Or even 6 months ago, or even 3 months ago. It does get better. Okay, I'm not there yet. Paul wrote that in Philippians. He said, I'm just not there yet. I'm not there yet, but I'm here to tell you, it does get better. And we can chuck these things. We don't have to drink the disgusting things that the enemy wants us to consume. We don't have to do that. Okay, so actually, those are my illustrations. I'm actually going to teach from Isaiah 6, and I'm going to tell you why. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. And if I've preached on this before, excuse me, I love this chapter. I preached this in the prison in Winslow. I don't know if I preach it here, but the Lord just put this on my heart. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to do the whole chapter. There's 13 verses. There's not a whole lot here. Okay? I'm going to start in verse 1. Okay? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of his people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." Then the Lord said, "Then I said, Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, and the houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump." And I'm going to tell you why I picked this. So the Lord is showing me this progression. And actually, in Lee's article, it's really good. He talks about sanctification. It's about how the Lord is just purifying us. And he's just never done. And he just wants us to be pure. I won't use the word perfect. He wants us to be pure and clean before him. Okay, so I'm going to go through this. I'm going to go through this in detail because there's a lot here. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It starts out, said, in the year that King Uzziah died. I'm going to stop there. Does anyone know who King Uzziah was? He was a good king. He really was a good king. He did great things. He did some really cool things like build military weapons to defend God's people. He was a neat guy, but he fell. He didn't finish well. He and I won't go into detail because it's actually in, you can read it in 2 Chronicles 26. I'll read the one verse that hits it. Verse 16, 2 Chronicles 26, 16. You write it down or you can check it out another time. It says, "But when he was strong," this is Uzziah, "when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." He failed. He failed big time. And he became a leper. And he died as a leper. He didn't finish well. But he was a good man. He really was. He did good things. He defended God's people. His heart was right. But he did this one thing. Do you remember when I said, you know, when I made that smoothie, I put one thing in it, ruined it. One thing ruined it. This man had all the good helpings, all the good fixings, and he wrecked it. Okay? So this chapter in Isaiah starts out, in the year that King Uzziah died, a man who did well and fell and died as a leper. And Isaiah writes in verse 1, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So when you read through Isaiah, actually the very first verse, he talks about the visions. Here, I'll read it. I'll read it for you. Isaiah chapter 1. Sorry, it starts the whole book. He says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz. Okay? So in chapter 6, is that a vision? I don't know. I really don't know. All I know is he saw the Lord. It says right here, he saw the Lord. Okay, wait a minute. You know, when I read John, it says no one has seen God the Father. This is Jesus Christ. And even in my book, even in my Bible, it references John. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And a train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah saw the God of heaven in his glory. Okay? And then, okay, verse 2. Above it stood seraphim, and each one had six wings. These are angelic beings. These are created creatures of God of heaven. That one had six wings. With two, he covered his face, because when you're in the presence of God, you're scared. You're scared because his glory, Shekinah glory, is scary. With two, the angel covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And though, you guys know when you know the washing of the feet. You remember when the Lord washed the feet of the disciples? And Peter said, you know, do the whole thing. And he says, no, you're clean, but your feet, because we walk in this earth. Kind of like what I said before, you know, about the weeds or the other things, is you're never done. When we're here on this earth, there is dirty things that we need to be cleaned of. And here, the seraphim, they covered their feet. Same thing, a created being of God covered their feet because they knew they were unholy. The other two, they flew. So they were physically over. And actually, if you read Ezekiel chapter 1, it's almost a very similar description. Very similar, if not the same beings, different person looking at it. I don't know. They said four wings. I won't go into detail there, but it does seem like similar beings, okay? Angelic beings. In verse 3, this is what's real important. What did they say? What did they say? The most important thing that a lot of people say, I saw this, but what did they say? It said what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I read that right there, and I know that these are angelic beings who are in the presence of God of heaven. When you're in the presence of God of heaven, I believe that do you remember when Peter, when they saw the transfigured Christ, he was speechless? I think we will be speechless, but I do believe we'll be able to say, holy, holy, holy. And that's what they say, is the Lord God holds. The whole earth is full of his glory. Okay, so I'm going to, okay, verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. So these are angelic beings in the presence of God of heaven that were proclaiming his holiness. Verse 4 says, and the posts of the door, and I believe this is the temple, were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. And I told you, I'm doing my quiet time in the mornings in 2 Chronicles. And which is interesting is when Solomon dedicated the temple, let me read it for you. 2 Chronicles 5. I don't know why, but this smoke, and the Lord, in other places of the Bible, he says the smoke is the prayer of the saints. The presence of God. Okay, in 2 Chronicles 5, I'll just read verse 14. When the priests were praising God, one of the things I love about this church, remember how I said last time I preached that this place has a stronghold of praise? It does. Is when there's praise in the room, the enemy's out. He's out because he can't breathe. He can't handle the praise. So what happened? Look at verse 14. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 14 says, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And I'm also going to show you in same book, chapter 7, verse 2, said, Solomon had finished praying. This is when he dedicated with all these massive sacrifices. He said, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When the smoke is there, when the Lord's presence is there, it's overwhelming. And if you guys, I mentioned we used to live in Flagstaff. When they do the burning, When they do the controlled burns, sometimes it's suffocating. And in our home in Flagstaff, we didn't have air conditioning. So, and especially in the summer when it's cooler, when there's rain, they'll do some of the burnings. A lot of times it's in the winter. But sometimes Melissa just gets, oh, she just can't handle it. It's just suffocating because the whole place is full of smoke, if you've ever been in that. And in the Lord's presence, it's overwhelming. I'm going to use that word several times because the Lord uses it a lot in Isaiah 6, overwhelming. The Lord is overwhelming. His presence is overwhelming, but it's good. It's overwhelming. It's good. Okay, verse 5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Okay, when you're in the presence of God, all the things that you're not, you're going to find out real quick. All these little things like what Lee Grady was talking about, you're going to see it, and it's going to be repulsive. You're not going to want to bring them in. You can't bring them in the presence of God. He's holy. So what did Isaiah say? The first thing is, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I'm going to tell you. And he says what? And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I go to Mexico. I can tell I'm among people of unclean lips because I hear how they talk, especially in the prison. In my own life, I come from a family of people of unclean lips. I grew up with people of unclean lips. It's offensive to the Lord. And when you read, do you remember when I read Ephesians 4? Actually, the first verse of the Bible I ever learned was Ephesians 4, and I believe it was 29. Hold on, let me see. Yeah, uh-huh. Do not let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. This is something I've struggled in my walk for years, and the Lord is slowly, he's just ripping this out. I love that demolish concept. Lord, demolish it. Because this thing, and just like my weeds, it just wants to keep coming back. This unclean lips. And we know we're among people of unclean lips. Turn the news on. Click on Google News and just read or just listen. We're people of unclean lips. Okay? Isaiah said in the latter part of verse 5, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When you're in his presence, you're just going to see these things and you're not going to want them. Just like that toad, you're going to want to throw that thing away. Okay? And I love verse 6. This is how the Lord works. Okay, I have a question for you guys. I do this a lot in Mexico because I don't speak real good Spanish. I want to make sure they're tracking with me. I use questions a lot in Mexico. And I have a question for you guys. Everyone knows about the flood of Noah, right? You know, the flood, it engulfed the whole world. I have a question. How many evil spirits died in the flood? None. Because water can't kill a spirit. How many people died? Everyone but the 8 on board. Everybody. But no spirits died. And guess what? When they got off the ark, guess who were waiting for them? The evil spirits. Spirit of drunkenness. Spirit of sexual perversion. They were waiting. And when I go to the prison, or even yesterday when I was in Agua Prieta, one of the rehabs, I told them, I said, this place is a good refuge, but them spirits are outside the walls. They're waiting for you. And if you go out in the flesh, they're going to rip you apart. They're going to rip you apart because they know your weaknesses. They know how to slip that toad in. They know how to take you out. And that's why I believe the Lord had to show us in the flood that we can't clean ourselves up. You can't. If you try and try, you can go to the best self-help group in the world. You can find the best doctors, psychologists, and I speak this very respectfully to all of the above, but they can't heal you of these things that are spiritual. They can't. The Lord showed, there was violence in the world in the day of Noah, and he wiped out everybody. Did it wipe out violence? It didn't. The spirits hung on. But look at verse 6. I love this. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. I'm going to stop there. There's one thing that can destroy a spirit and will. There's going to be a judgment, and it's going to be a judgment of fire. Fire. And the Lord God of heaven is going to burn every evil spirit up, and he's going to cast them into hell, where they're going to burn. They're not just going to burn up like a match, you know, it's gone. They're going to burn continually in hell for their disobedience. But the Lord wants to cleanse us, and he wants to do it through the Spirit. And he wants to cleanse these things, you know, like what Lee shared in this. He wants to cleanse these things, but he wants to do it with fire. I love that wrecking ball. He wants to demolish it and get rid of it. I wish I could do that with my weeds. But I can't. But the Lord can do that with us, with our sinful nature. He can burn these things out, and he wants to. He's waiting. I don't want to say there's a seraphim waiting outside the door with a hot coal, but the Lord is waiting to do that to us. And it's good. It's good. Verse 7 says, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. When you hear that, that is good. If you guys have ever been, I don't know, there's lots of illustrations. You know, think of like a surgeon's knife. If there's something on your body that shouldn't be there, and a surgeon, he doesn't like come and just like, you know, do the John Wayne thing. No, he's very careful and he wants to cut all that bad stuff out. And that's how the Lord does with the fire of the Spirit. He wants to burn all that bad stuff out, but he's careful. It says here, he didn't burn Isaiah's head. He didn't burn his nose off. No, he says what? He touched his lips. He burned that sin, that wicked speech, that spirit of wicked speech. He burned it out. And that's what the Lord is waiting to do. And he wants to do that to us, for us. It's not to us. It's for us. When the Lord does these things, he doesn't do it because he says, you know, Ramon's just a bad guy and I just need to clean him up all the time. He says it because I love him and I really want him to be clean in my presence. So I got to cut these things out that are nasty in his life. And I love this. I love that wrecking ball. I love this touching of the coal. It burned it out. And he said, what? Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Anointed people of God, ask the Spirit to burn those things out. And he will. He will. I have to ask. I have things I need to have burned out. And sometimes I don't even know they're there because I've been around it all my life. Melissa can see it. She's been around me long enough to see. But, you know, she can't burn it out. But the Spirit, he's waiting. He's waiting. And he wants to do it very gently and delicately. He wants our sin to be purged and cast out. Again, sanctification. Okay, verse 8. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Okay, notice the progression. I love this, how the Lord works. I told this last night to the guys, last night, that every believer has a purpose. Every believer has a work of God that he's anointed us to do, and we can't do it when we're carrying all this nasty stuff. And he's waiting to prepare us, to cleanse us, and to get us ready to do it. So here we have Isaiah. What? He got his wicked speech burned out with that coal. And listen to the question, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? This is the Lord asking these questions. Who will go? And he's asking it after he has been purged. And I know in my life, when we first came here 4 years ago, there was a whole bunch of stuff I didn't even see. And I'm not talking big nasties. I'm just talking stuff he just needed to burn out. And it's less. It's just like the weeds in my yard. I don't have the things I had 4 years ago. It's getting better, but I got to keep at it. I got to ask the Lord, the Spirit, keep burning it out. Keep coming. And here he says, I love the reply, end of verse 8. And then I said, here I am, send me. Send me. He didn't give a job description. He didn't give a location. He said, who will go for us, Trinity? Who will go? Send me. And I love that. Isaiah is one of the greatest prophets ever, right? I mean, if you guys know, I mean, he watched the sundial go 10 degrees backwards. The sun go backwards? Yeah, he did. Our family's reading Isaiah in our quiet time at night, or our Bible reading at night. He did. He saw this. And saints of God, you know, when the Lord sends you, he's going to send you some awesome places to see some awesome things, to do some awesome, awesome, wonderful works of God that he's prepared you to do. But right here, ask him to purge these things out. And then when he asks, who will I send? Respond to him. Here I am. Send me. I'm not worthy. I'm not ready. But he said, send me. Verse 9 said, and he said, the Lord of heaven said, go and tell this people. What did he say? Did he say, go prepare your house? Did he say, clean up your life a little bit more? No, he said, go and tell these people. There are people right now waiting to be told lovingly. Last night, before I even got there, I was watching the guys. One guy looked through the bars of the window, and he smiled because he knew I was going to come tell him. I was going to come tell him the things the Lord had for them. And right now, they're people. I love what Pastor Calvin shared. Remember what he said about there's someone on your mind, right? You know, when he's talking about that needs prayer, and their name will come up. You're going to have the same thing happen with the people you need to go tell. And it may not be, you know, who you necessarily think. It might be something real obscure. Might even be some place you can't even pronounce. But there are people right now waiting for you, for me, to go tell them what. And here we have, I love this. This is actually, these verses are in two of the Gospels. They're in Matthew and in John, verse by verse. So pay attention. It's in the Old Testament. It's in Isaiah. It's in two of the Gospels. He said, what? Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. And I don't know if you guys remember, but I preached, this was months ago. I preached on Mark chapter 5, and I was preaching in Mexico. I preached from the Reina Valera. And I was baffled because in the Spanish it was saying, they were using the word for saved when in the New King James was saying healed. It's almost interchangeable. Healing and salvation are like, I don't think you can pull them apart. They're almost the same thing. When you're saved, there's a healing of your soul. And healing is much more than, you know, I hurt my fingers this week. I was doing concrete work. I heard, Lord, I want you to heal my fingers. The healing is deeper than that. Healing is like what Pastor Calvin said. Cancer, broken spirit. Lord can heal all that. He is the healer. He is the savior. So here we have one. We says, keep on hearing and do not understand. Right now I'm here to tell you, our nation keeps hearing stuff, but they don't understand things. I listen to the news. I've been around 51 years. I should probably count how many elections I've gone through. But I'm hearing the same things I heard years ago. It's not changing. I'm still seeing problems when I was a little kid. They haven't changed. We keep hearing, but we don't understand. We keep seeing, but we do not perceive. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when we do in the flesh, it just doesn't work. When I try cleaning my life up in the flesh, it doesn't work. I'll fail every time. When I see the drug addicts in Mexico and I see them leave the rehab, they don't have Christ. I know I'm going to see them back there or see them on the street passed out. We can't keep going on in the flesh. We got to enter into the spirit realm. We need to get healed in the spirit. I love what Pastor Calvin said about the praise band. Don't give a guy who's good in the flesh. You can have the best musician up here in the flesh, and he would wreck the whole team. If you can't operate in the spirit realm, it doesn't work. You got something that might be sound nice, but you leave here just saying, the worship didn't work. It just didn't work. And here we have these people, they keep hearing, they keep seeing, but they don't get it. And we're the same way. Our nation is the same way. I live among a people this way. I'm the same way. If I operate in the flesh, I'm going to continually fail. Okay, verse 10. Make the heart of his people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. And I'm going to tell you this. When you go and tell the people you're supposed to tell, and you're not just speaking words. A lot of these guys have known me for some of them, actually, since I've been here. Some of these guys in Mexico have known me for 4 years. And they're like, yeah, we kind of know the guy. Sometimes he even brings his wife here. He doesn't have eyes for the other girls. And you know, he really does love us. And when he comes here, he does bring good stuff. And they know. So when you're walking in the Spirit, then the people on your assignment list are going to know it. They're going to know because they see, they hear, and they can tell. And I love this. I love how this ends. And hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. Did you notice that's actually a reverse of what verse 9 was? Keep on hearing, but do not understand. It says here, hear with their ears and understand with their heart. When we break through, when we have the spiritual breakthrough, when we get out of the flesh, we chuck that whole system out of her. And you know, the ugly thing is sometimes the flesh will even try coming back into the church. I've seen it. I've seen these programs. I was in Mexico. This was 2014. I was hearing a sermon I heard in Tempe, Arizona. I want to say like, almost 20 years before. We tried that. It didn't work. Don't go try being someone's friend to bring them to the Lord. Go tell them. Go live. You gotta have to live, but you got to tell them. Don't take someone out to coffee and just think because you take them out to coffee every day and you don't even tell them the gospel, they're going to get saved. They can't. And the flesh will just keep trying, just like the weeds in my yard. They'll keep trying to come back in. They just will. And I need to chuck them out. I need to get in the spirit. I need to get the burning of that coal on my lips. I need to get the burning of the Holy Spirit in my heart to burn all those things I can't even always see. So here we have, hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. And I love this. If I could close right here, I would, but I'm not. And return and be healed. There are people right now that are hurting. There are people right now, if they've tried the 12 steps or whatever, they've tried every medicine their doctor gives them, they're not getting better. And I'm not saying of a medical condition. I mean, you know what's interesting about America? We consume. Do you guys realize this? We consume most of the prescription drugs more than any other nation. It's actually sickening. And you know, actually, and we have a nurse right here. A lot of those conditions have nothing to do with a medical condition. People can't sleep. People have dreams. People have anxieties. People have things that it doesn't make sense. And here we have, and return and be healed. Christ wants to do that for his people. He wants to do that for me. He wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for those people who are on your assignment. I want to see those guys in Mexico get healed. I don't want to see them, you know, free of drugs. No, I want to see them free of those demons. They keep drawing them back to injectable drugs, to violence, to the horrible things that they're up to when they're walking in the flesh. I want to see them free and healed. I want to be healed. I want that full healing. Return and be healed. I love the word of God. Saved, healed. Same thing in verse 11. This is the other part what the Lord keeps telling me is, then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, and the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate. I'm going to stop there. How long until the Lord says stop? Or it says here, until it's all over. We got saved for a reason. We got saved for a reason. It's not just so we can live good lives. I mean, there really are believers that believe that. Yeah, but no, it's beyond that. We got saved to go accomplish the Lord's purpose. And I can tell you, when I see people get healed, I can't tell you how blessed I am. So many people tell me, you know, is it hard to do what you do? No. When I leave, I kind of hurt because I'm leaving the people I love. When I see people come and get saved or get demons thrown out or get healed, and I haven't seen a whole lot of healing, but I have seen some. But when I see people get delivered, I see that a lot. And actually, that's probably most of the medical problems is demonic influence. When I see that, I am blessed. When I saw, and there was a guy in the prison in Obregon where Denise's family is from, in the prison, there was a guy, he was tattooed all over his head. Santa Muerte. That's a bad one. He got saved. This guy was joyful. It was so cool. I don't remember, but I think he may have been one of the guys got baptized. Oh, that is so blessed. Until when? Until it's all over. There's no retirement in this, and there's no retirement age in the serving of God of heaven. He says, you keep doing it until it's all over. Verse 12. Let me see how I'm doing on time. Okay, good. Verse 12. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. Okay? This is what it's all over in the Word of God. About a remnant. About a remnant. About a remnant. When God's people were ripped from the land, there was always a remnant that stayed. And let me tell you about the remnant. The remnant isn't always the pretty guys. The big buff guys, no, they got hauled off in the exile because they were good looking. All the elegant people that had all their house in order, they got pulled out in exile. All the people who had all their finances in order and they dressed really nice, those guys got chucked out. The remnant were who? The poor. The miserable people, the drunks, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, they didn't go. They're the remnant. They're the remnant. And the Lord has shown me, that's why the Lord has put this on my heart, to go to the incarcerated. They're the remnant. I see so many beautiful things happen there in me, and I'm not saying that's the people in your assignment. My assignment's not your assignment. But my assignment is those people, and they fit this. They're a remnant, okay? And it says, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. I'm going to tell you right now, it was really cool. Nina, anointed woman of God, took us on a prayer walk a couple weeks ago around Douglas. I know a lot of you guys went with us. And just, you know, the one thing is when I walk through Douglas, I see houses that must have been beautiful when they were built. This town was a sparkling gem. I mean, I'm walking through and just looking, and I'm not a carpenter like Pastor Eric, but I can see into the, that was not a regular carpenter. That was a master who, even this building here, this town was a beautiful place. And what I see is there's a remnant here now. A lot of people have moved away. I know, Rosie, you probably know this. A lot of people have left. There's a remnant here. And a remnant's not a bad thing. A remnant's a good thing. Because now God can go to brass tacks. Look at this. Look at verse 13, and I'm going to expound upon this. This is what it's about. When you, I can't explain it. I've just seen it over and over in my life. I've been a lot of different churches. Sometimes the Lord has to remove what looks like really good things to get to a remnant where he can get down the brass tacks and do his job. Sometimes all those colorful and those things, and I've gone through them. I've seen the teachings. Oh, yeah, we get our life in order. And I'm not saying they're bad things, but you're not done. If you're getting your life in order in the flesh, it's not bad, but it's not what the Lord wants to do. He wants to do marvelous things through the Spirit. Look at verse 13, and I'll end. But yet a tenth will be in it. That's the remnant. The tenth will be in it. And will return and be for consuming. I'm going to stop there because you read that and it's like, I read that. I was like, well, what does it mean? I had to go, I looked at the Hebrew in Blue Letter Bible, but I read the Greek. So I went to the Greek. What is that about? It's about burning. It's about burning. And do you remember when we read before about the smoke in the temple? When the smoke filled the temple, the firemen didn't come to the temple. No, the priests were like, whoa, the presence of God is here. The remnant is for burning, but it's a good burning. It's a burn. It's a fire in the Spirit. When you've been around people who have the fire and it's passionate, when I saw it last night, there was a young guy. He was sitting right close to the front. And I could just see in his eyes a fire, and it was beautiful. There was something in his heart that was just consuming. Okay, it says, and yet a tenth will be in it, the remnant, and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak. And those of you guys know oak burns real hot. I use oak. We have a wood-burning stove to heat my house in Bisbee. Oak burns hot. A terebinth tree, it's actually a relative of the pistachio tree. It burns real hot. And Pastor Calvin knows there's trees that don't burn hot. There's trees that burn, but they give off a little heat, but not like oak, not like terebinth. The remnant is going to come, and it's going to burn with fire, and it's going to be intense. And the burning of God is a good thing. And I'll give you an example. Do you guys remember the burning bush? It was a good thing. The burning of God, the coal that angel brought and touched Isaiah's lips was a good thing. So here we have the remnant. The tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree, as an oak tree, whose stump remains when it is cut down. Okay, that's the remnant. The remnant is a stump. Okay, so the holy seed shall be its stump. The remnant, the holy seed is the remnant. And again, my remnant are in these little locked up places over in Agua Prieta and other places. He takes me into the prison, wherever he takes me. That's my remnant, who God has said, that's your assignment. And I see a burning. When it burns, it's beautiful. And I believe this church has gotten, and they're right over here, they're written down, some of the prophecies this church has gotten. I believe they're true. I really do. I've received prophecies from this church I believe are true. And I believe there's more. Like what are written down over here. And the Lord, he's waiting to do it. He wants that remnant to get cleansed, to burn, to be for consuming. And we're going to stand back just like those priests. We're going to have to like get away from the presence because it's going to be beautiful. The smoke, the presence of the Lord is going to fill the temple. Where's the temple? I ask that all the time in Mexico. It's God's people. We know that. 1 Corinthians 6, our bodies, we're the believers of the temple. We're going to see it, and we're going to stand back and go, whoa, the Lord is doing a work. These things are going to happen. These things are happening. I'm seeing them. Healing, salvation, you can't pull them apart. They're together. We're going to see healing in abundance, salvations in abundance, but it's going to start with what? It says right here, a tenth, a remnant, a stump, the weak, the leftovers, the discards, the guys that didn't make the bus because no one wanted them to get on the bus. Okay, I wrote this right here, the very end. Light on fire. Light on fire. Light on fire. Saints of God, light it on fire. Burn it. And God is good. He's not going to burn up your good stuff. He's going to burn up the bad stuff. And now the fire is going to burn. It's going to get beautiful. It's going to fill the temple with the smoke. Okay. So that's where I have. Remember water, the flood, cleanse the flesh. It's just, you know which is interesting? You know, it came to me. It's kind of silly. You know, when the angel came to Isaiah, when he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. He didn't come to him with a bar of soap. He didn't come to wash out his mouth. That didn't work. He had to burn it out. So the fire cleanses the spirit. The Holy Spirit is fire. He's waiting to cleanse. And I'm loving being here. I'm loving the teaching, the anointing that is over the church right here. And it's real. The gifts haven't stopped. The gifts are waiting to be poured out when the remnant is ready. When we're in the Spirit. When the Lord has been, when we've given Him permission to burn those things out, He's ready. Now you're ready to do what? Okay, one of the things when I was a little kid, one of the things I always did, and teachers probably didn't like it, is every time I got a book when I was a kid, I was always like, has an end. I would always read like the last chapter. And I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to take you to the last chapter in the book of the Bible, Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Because one of the things that the Lord shows me, and I've seen people teach opposite of this. Some of the really conservative, I won't even name. I've heard people, and last month we were in Mexico. We were at a small congregation where I heard people teach. All the gifts that happened, those all stopped when the last apostle died. I don't read that in Scripture. I don't read a pause button. The Lord never said, oh, all these gifts, well, you know, Timothy didn't like write a letter and say, oh, they're on hold right now. Uh-uh. They're waiting and they're available. And one of the things the Lord has shown me is he showed us in the past the great things that have happened. And he's going to show us the great things that are going to happen. And there's good things that are going to happen in between. We can't think that, oh, you know, Peter saw some cool things. I'm never going to see that. Oh, and in the last days, they're going to see some great things. But it won't be until I get my glorified body and see all that. All the things in between are going to be plain vanilla. Uh-uh. No, the great things that happened to the great things that are going to happen, they're going to continue. And we should expect that. And we should look for that. And we should eagerly anticipate that. So I'm going to end right here. Chapter 22, Revelation 22, verse 1. And he, that's an angel, showed John, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know which is interesting? Didn't I just read about when Isaiah saw the Lord? Where was he? On a throne. Where did I just read right here? He said, and I saw, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of the street, on either side, a river, and was what? A tree of life. The tree yielded fruit. And what? Read the very last. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. Saints of God, we have healing. We have healing. The Lord wants to use our mouth. That's why I believe that's why this chapter just sits with me, because I had years of struggling with just wicked speech. We have healing in our mouths, but we can't heal unless we open them. And there are people right now who are waiting for healing. They've tried the 12 steps. They've tried the drugs. They've tried whatever the flesh has to offer. It doesn't work. They're waiting for saints of God to heal them. The Lord is waiting to use his people to heal the nations. The leaves are part of the tree. The leaves, we're part of the body. Every believer is a part of the body. There are people waiting to be healed. But if we don't, like what Isaiah said, if we don't accept our assignment, they ain't going to get healed. Those guys in Awapranta, they weren't going to get healed if I decided, I got some busy projects. I really do. I got some really cool projects. But they weren't going to get healed if I stayed at home and just did my projects. They needed me to go and tell them and show them and to love them. And, okay, that's my assignment. I don't know what your assignment is. You guys know. Just like what Pastor Calvin said. Look for that name. It'll come to your mind. It just will. That's just who the Lord is. Okay? So I'm going to close here. And the trees are what? The leaves of the trees are for healing of the nations. Our nation needs to be healed. You know, you watch the news, and I can't tell you. Like I said, I've seen these problems ever since I can remember. We're not getting healed because we keep acting in the flesh. It doesn't work. Let's go operate in the Spirit. Let the Lord purge these sins out. He'll do it for us. And this nation is waiting to be healed. Mexico is waiting to be healed. The world is waiting to be healed, but they're not going to get healed unless those who have healing show up. Okay, let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us. You show us everything we need to know. You're so gracious to cleanse us of all the things we can't cleanse ourselves from. Lord, we just declare you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we want to serve you. We want to honor you, Lord Jesus, with our first fruits. We want to honor you, Lord Jesus, with everything we are. You're the Holy One, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our lives. Lord Jesus, bring those names to mind who we're to go. Show us, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us with your Spirit, and we'll go. Lord, I just ask you to bless everyone in the hearing of my voice. Everyone who has received my words, may they be a blessing. And if there's any offense, just take it away. I ask you to bless and grow and anoint this church, Faith Ministries of Douglas, Arizona. I ask you to show us the remnant. Bring forth your remnant that we may be a holy seed, pleasing to your eye. We want to see that kingdom grow, Lord Jesus. That's what we want right now, your kingdom. It's all about your kingdom. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord Jesus. Bless and cover everyone in hearing of my voice. I pray these things in your holy name. The Lamb sitting on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So if anyone wants prayer,